This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. It's your weekly blitz with Chris, keeping you in the game.
Are you ready to supercharge your auto repair business? This is Coach Chris Cotton from AutoFix Auto Shop Coaching. The weekly blitz is where industry expertise and business innovation collide, revving your engines for the week ahead. Every episode has game-changing insights, up-to-the-minute industry updates, and practical tips to shift your business into high gear. We're talking about stuff you didn't even know you didn't know, folks. This episode is brought to you by Shop Marketing Pros, the experts in marketing for top-tier auto repair shops. If you're running a successful shop and want to take it to the next level, Shop Marketing Pros is without a doubt your best option. From websites and SEO to social media and digital ads, Shop Marketing Pros help shop owners just like you and me fill our bays, grow our revenue, and build the life we've been working for. Are you ready to take the guesswork out of your marketing? If so, I want you to visit shopmarketingpros.com/Chris to get a free digital marketing inspection and start building the shop of your dreams today. Hey, everybody. So we're continuing the series today. I'm titling this, for better words, Why Workflow Matters More Than You Think. If I just asked you, shop owner to shop owner, have you ever walked into your own shop and felt like you just stepped into a war zone? Are your phones ringing off the hook, customers waiting, techs looking for ROs, parts delays, and nobody seems to know what's actually going on? I think a lot of that's not just a busy day. That's a broken workflow. Me personally, though, I would like the shop to run on the edge of chaos. I want it to be busy. I want people to be exhausted at the end of the day. And I want us to say yes to the customers and get the cars in, but make sure that we're doing it on a good timeline and we're always being honest with the customers, right? Here's the hard truth. If you don't control your workflow is going to control you. And when that happens, I think everything suffers. Efficiency goes down, average repair order goes down, morale tanks, we get comebacks, and most importantly, profit disappears. So our workflow is how we go from a vehicle arriving at your shop to a vehicle being delivered back to the customer with everything fixed, paid for, and explained clearly. When we think about that, every single step in that process needs to be defined, trained, and enforced. Not micromanaged, not overcomplicated, just clear. What I've created is a 7-step core workflow. I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction, but really it's up to you to sit down and figure out how you want to do these 7 steps in your shop. Let's walk through a basic, scalable 7-step workflow that I think every shop should have. You can customize it, but don't skip the steps. The steps are the same. Step 1, vehicle check-in. The advisor greets the customer warmly, confirms appointment, and clarifies concerns. Vehicle walk-around is mandatory. Take photos of any dings, dents, or warning lights. I want you to confirm the timeline and best way to reach the customer. And I want you to set some expectations up front. When we're setting expectations up front and we're communicating with the customer, I think a great check-in eliminates about 80% of customer complaints later. Now, some people could argue that step 1 should be when we make the appointment. If you want to add that step, add that step. The other thing I want to say really, really quickly is advisor greets the customer warmly. A lot of times we have these counters and we stand behind the counters. Typically, when I work the front counter and help the guys out, I take the stool, put it in the office, and then I stand all day long or as long as I can. I want the customer to know that I'm up, attentive, and ready. When they get through that door, they see a bright, smiling face, and somebody says, "Hey, how can we help you?" Or if you're already helping a customer, you can say, "I'll be right with you." But you have to acknowledge the customer. Okay, that's part of greeting the customer warmly. We could probably do a 10 to 15 minute podcast on just greeting the customer if we wanted to. So step 2 is the initial tech inspection. Tech performs inspection before touching the original concern unless it's safety related or time sensitive. I want us to use the DVI to document everything. It includes pictures, severity, maintenance needs, all of it. My mind, a great DVI should have 8 to 12 pictures, more if necessary, but also include some things that's going well with the vehicle. All right. I feel like too many shops treat DVIs like checklists, like they're just like, "Oh, I'm just going through here and checking the boxes." The DVI should be treated like a sales tool, okay? Not a checklist. Next step is number 3, estimate building. The advisor builds the estimate using inspection findings. We're going to prioritize by the customer's original concern. And then after that, we have safety, reliability, and convenience. Group jobs to minimize labor duplication. The other thing is wraparound requests. I know everybody that's listening, that's been listening for a long time, has heard me say this before. But if we're in there doing a water pump, are we recommending hoses? Are we recommending a thermostat? Are we recommending a timing belt? Are we recommending a cooling system service? All of the things that touch that system, we need to talk about those as well while we're in there. Step four, customer communication and authorization. We need to present our findings in plain English. We need to educate, don't sell. We also need to just make sure and confirm everything in writing, email or text. Confirmation is critical. And then we set updated expectations for time and cost, and we are reestablishing the contract. Okay. At all of these steps, I want you to think about new contract is happening, or we have a contract that is expiring and we're renegotiating the terms. Originally, when the customer makes an appointment, you're making a contract with them to have a time to drop off their vehicle. That's all the appointment is a drop-off time. Next, when they, during the drop-off, you are resetting the expectations. Hey, we're going to look at your car in the next couple of hours at X amount of time, or 3 p.m. today. Expect an estimate from me unless we figure out everything sooner. When you're talking to that person at that point and following up with your findings, this is the next contract. Okay, based on parts availability and when we can get your car back in, this is the new time frame for that. And then you're setting those expectations, you're resetting those contracts every time, putting all that together. So number five is dispatching again for the second time. You're going to dispatch the first time, but then you're going to redispatch that work out. And the reason why I say redispatch that work out is I want us to be looking at who's available to do the work. Are they qualified to do the work? How can we get this car's customer to them, get this car's customers back to them as fast as we can? Okay. Just because you wrote work in my shop doesn't mean you get to do the work. I know a lot of flat rate techs will be like, oh my God, you're taking stuff away from me. If you have a shop that has four technicians and you have two technicians with work to do and two with nothing to do, and you've got 12 cars that need to get to customers, then that work needs to go to those other two techs to get it out of there. Maybe those other techs need to write better inspections to sell more work. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of stuff that goes there, but I'm not holding 12 cars for two techs if I can get all 12 of those cars out in a day. I would tell you the flat rate technicians that I've had have never complained because I'm always getting work for everybody. That's the job. Say yes, figure it out, get the work in the shop, get it inspected, sell the work, and then dispatch it accordingly. Okay. Now to my bullet points after me preaching a little bit. Step five, job dispatching. The tech is assigned work based on skill set and availability. We have to ensure parts are confirmed before dispatching the job. Whoever's doing the dispatchers, if you have one, or advisors, you have to track tech load to avoid log jams. That's what I just talked about. One of the biggest killers of productivity is assigning jobs to techs who are still knee deep in something. We don't want to pull them off, because anytime we stop and start, we know that it kills productivity. If you have techs sitting around with nothing to do and they're qualified to do the job, get the job done, get it back to the customer, make sure everybody's happy, and then get in the next car. If you do this, you'll be more productive. You will have more work in your shop. You will say yes to more people. What we're doing in our shop is absolutely insane right now. I know we're busy. I know it's tourist season, but we're getting stuff out and we're making customers happy. We did almost 160,000 last month, just a little bit short. Right now for July, we're on track to do 185, 190 is where we're at the beginning. And that's because we do things this way. And a lot of shops in town are like, oh, well, we're 3 or 4 weeks out. But it's funny, when I talk to those owners of the other shops, I'm like, do you have technicians standing around at the end of the day, like 2, 3, 4 o'clock? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, then you're really not booked out 3 weeks. You're just telling people that for whatever BS reason you're giving yourself. So stop all that. Make the customers happy. Get cars in and out of the shop. Step number six, QC, or quality control and test drive. Every job should be checked by second set of eyes or have a checklist signed by the technician. Test drive any job related to drivability, suspension, steering, or brakes. confirm the vehicle's clean and ready before calling the customer. Step 7, customer pickup and debrief. The advisor reviews the work performed, shows additional pictures if necessary, discusses future maintenance and deferred work, confirm customer satisfaction, ask for a review before they leave. And the way we do this, the way I do it, is I ask the customer, if you think we've earned 5 stars, then we would love to get a review from you. I want you to be looking for that in the follow-up email. If not, then we would love to know how we can do better, and you can reply to Chris in that email and he can address any of your concerns, unless you have something you want to share with me right now. On the customer pickup, we're planting the seed for future work. We're making sure they're happy, and we're planting the seed for the review. And we've been able, since we bought the shop, we were at like 146 reviews. We just got to 220, I think, and this has been in less than a year. We've been able to go from 4.1 or 4.2 to 4.5 now. So we're really doing a better job at that. Plus, we're taking great care of the customers. That's the best way to do that. Earlier when I started talking, I mentioned workflow and SOPs. So how do we turn this into a living SOP? Workflow is great, but if it's not documented and trained, it's just wishful thinking, right? So first thing we have to do is create a SOP binder, which is a physical binder, or a digital hub or digital binder if you have everything on Google Drive, something like that. So each of those 7 steps becomes a 1 to 2 page section, not more than 2 pages. If we have more than 2 pages of the original outline, then that's too much. We also want to include scripts, checklists, and screenshots from the point of sale system or the shop management system. Keep it accessible, and I want you to update it quarterly if you need to make sure that it's up to date for what your shop's doing. 2, I want you to assign step owners. Don't try to do every step yourself. Service advisors own the customer communication. The techs own inspections and quality control. And your manager or you need to oversee dispatch and workflow integrity if you're there. Okay? Somebody has to be looking for that. 3, we got to train it weekly. I want you to add 1 workflow SOP to your weekly meeting rotation. Role play check-ins, review DVIs, or repair order audits, quiz your team. I want you to praise people who follow it. And then here's when you have to put your coaching hat and whistle on. You got to coach those who don't follow it. Chaos is exhausting. You're probably working harder than you should be, solving the same problems week after week. That's not a shop problem. It's a systems problem. SOPs give you freedom. They free up your time, your energy, and your headspace. And when you get workflow right, your KPIs start improving automatically. Higher average repair order, better efficiency, fewer mistakes, and happy people. If you want help mapping out your own SOPs and creating a customized workflow that works for your shop, I want you to go to autoshopcoaching.com and schedule a free consultation with me. I also want to give another shout out to our sponsor, Shop Marketing Pros. They're the only marketing company I recommend, and they handle all of the marketing for my own shop as well. If you're serious about growth, you need strategies that actually work, better websites, higher Google rankings, and ads that bring real customers through your doors. I want you to go right now. Visit shopmarketingpros.com/Chris and partner with a team that understands your business, because every great shop deserves marketing that's just as great. Thanks for tuning in to the Weekly Blitz, everybody. Remember, it's time to rise, grind, and keep your mindset positive. Until next time, this is Coach Chris Cotton signing off. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton on the AftermarketRadioNetwork.com. Follow Chris on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Chris is all for advancing the aftermarket.